Welcome to another Distinct Nostalgia by MIM.
More than a podcast.
Now to the first of our summer Funny Women series on Distinct Nostalgia, celebrating some of our favourite British sitcom heroines. Up first, she was in the films Straw Dogs, The Railway Children and Baxter. And on TV, The Fen Street Gang, Z Cars and Dixon of Dock Green. But Sally Tomsett remains most famous for her role in an iconic sitcom made by the legendary ITV company Thames Television. She played Jo alongside Richard O'Sullivan as Robin, Paula Wilcox as Chrissy, Eutha Joyce as Mildred and Brian Murphy as George in the runaway 70s hit Man About the House. Nearly 50 years on, Sally Tomsett has been chatting to Ashley about her days as one of Britain's most famous flatmates. Enjoy!
Sally, it's absolutely brilliant to speak to you. I grew up watching you on TV. I grew up watching Man About the House. I'm a little bit too young for The Railway Children, but I've seen The Railway Children, obviously. And I know that was your sort of big break, as it were. Tell us a little bit about that, first of all, if you can. I mean, that's now, is it 50 years ago this year?
Yes, it was. I mean, it is, but unfortunately we can't have any celebration. Lots and lots of fans of The Railway Children get in touch with me and over the years and say, sort of 2 years ago-ish, they'd be saying, what are you doing for the 50th? And I've replied, well, I don't know, because obviously it's not in my hands, but it will definitely be something smashing. And here we are. Absolutely nothing's happened.
I mean, what's your lasting memories of that period? Because you were very young at that time, weren't you?
Well, I was 20, so I wasn't that young. But the thing was that I'd made about five-ish. I wouldn't be specific because I wasn't counting because I was working all the time. Films for the Children's Film Foundation. And I went for an audition for The Railway Children. And it was sort of similar, you know. Usually took about 6 weeks and a sweet little tale and this and that and the other. And on reflection, I wasn't thinking of it at the time, but the only thing on reflection was they actually auditioned. I had to go to about three auditions, which was, you know, not the sort of thing I did for the other ones. And I thought, oh, well, you know, maybe it's because it's, you know, somebody, whoever the producer is or whatever, they're probably particular. And it wasn't. It was because the little girl who I played, Phyllis, was only supposed to be about... I suppose about 11 or something now, or maybe even younger. And they wanted to make absolutely certain that I looked young enough to play the part. So that's the only difference. So when people say, oh, you must have been absolutely over the moon, I was obviously very happy because I like working. But I wasn't over the moon because I was used to it. But then we after we'd finished it, we had a royal premiere at the opening of the ABC 1 and 2 in, just trying to think, I think it was Shaftesbury Avenue. And we had Princess Michael of Kent and her husband, and we had Princess Margaret and her children, and we all were sort of standing in a row, and I thought, gosh, this is a bit weird. You know, we don't usually do this, and of course it was because it was a much bigger event than I anticipated.
Was it meant to be a big film, or was it a surprise? I mean, obviously it must have been if they were doing a launch like that. I suppose it was. You know, it was planned. I mean, it was Jenny Agutter was in it, wasn't she, and things like that. So, presumably, it was seen as being an important film at the time.
Well, I think so. I mean, it's Lionel Jeffrey's first film because he wrote it and obviously, you know, he was directing and everything. And I thought, oh, it's Lionel. He's nice. He was such a charming man. And it seemed to be a bit sort of more important than the other films that I'd done. And so I thought, this seems to be going very well. I hope they're happy with it and everything. And then, and then I got a phone call from Lionel while I was living at home with my mum and dad. And he said, because he used to play jokes on us, so you have to bear that in mind. And he said, I'd just like to tell you, you've been nominated for a BAFTA for The Railway Children. And I said, oh, yeah, sure. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, and you're the King of England. Not that I even knew what a BAFTA was, really, because I've just been working. But and he said, no, really. I said, oh, goodness me, how wonderful. I couldn't go to the event, unfortunately, because I was making the Straw Dogs by then, which was very different. And the little boy who was in, I'm trying to remember his name. Oh, David Bradley, who was in Kez. I don't know if you've seen that, but I haven't. But he actually won it. So because I wasn't going to win it, they didn't make any, they didn't sort of say, oh, you know, we can leave her off filming for 2 or 3 days or something. Because, the Straw Dogs was pretty different. And, no, I just thought, well, he must be joking.
And he was Lionel Jeffries was. I mean, he'd been around for a long, long time. The part I remember him playing was in the original Trials of Oscar Wilde. He plays Bosie's father. The horrible dad that's tries to take Oscar Wilde to court, or does take Oscar Wilde to court, etc. And he was brilliant in that. He was really, really good. It was a fabulous actor, wasn't he, Lionel Jeffries? Fabulous actor.
Excellent. Yes, he was very, very good. I speak to his son on Twitter.
You did that, and then you were doing quite a few other things, weren't you? You mentioned the Straw Dogs with Dustin Hoffman and Susan George, and then you were doing various other things. You did the Fenn Street Gang as well, didn't you, at that time, around that point? But you mentioned the Children's Film Foundation, and that got you into quite a few other things, didn't it? Because you were in Dixon and Dot Green and Zed Cars and things like that. Can you remember the parts you played in those?
No, I can't really. I mean, I remember doing it because I keep being reminded by frankly the people on Twitter. They know more than I do. I did quite a lot of touring in the theatre. But I can't say that's my favourite thing to do. You know, you've got the whole day in a totally foreign place with nothing to do. And if you don't know the cast, it's even worse.
It can be quite lonely, can't it? It can be quite lonely.
Yeah, and then it's not my time of day to start working at sort of 6 o'clock after having walked around the wherever. We weren't really put in. I mean, I used to put myself into a nice hotel with a spa, so at least I'd have something to do. But initially, I didn't. And it was sort of, you walk around these places and they're very nice, I'm sure, but you don't know where to go. You don't know where to have a cup of tea and sandwiches and stuff. And there obviously is somewhere, but you don't know. And I rarely found myself staying at the same place as the other people who were in the show. Mostly, I think I drove, but I wasn't prepared to drive home every night from Glasgow or somewhere. I think most of them drove a lot.
I'd just go back to this sort of room and think,
It's too late to watch anything on the television because that had finished by then. Even if they had a nice restaurant in the area, which I'm certain they did, then I couldn't go there because they'd be closed by the time we'd finished. And it wasn't a whole load of fun.
No, I understand that. When I was younger, I started out as a radio news presenter, and I used to freelance a lot, and I'd go all around the country and to different radio stations, and I'd end up staying in bed and breakfasts, which in weird, odd places, and it wasn't nice. I'd come back, and there was nothing to do, nowhere to go, and there's one bed and breakfast I went to. And the woman there, all she ever gave me was spaghetti bolognese. So it's like, I've had enough of this after about 5 days. You know, because I was going back home at weekends, but it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't that. I agree with you. It's not being on the road is not always a nice thing, is it? Really? So
I guess if you're sort of with a lot of people that you know quite well. Because
nowadays I can't do it at the moment, but me and my partner we're big fans of big hotels. So wherever we go, we always find a nice big hotel where you're looked after. And if you go to a big hotel and be looked after, that's fine.
Yeah.
Great.
In Manchester, where we are, there's the we have the Midland Hotel, which is quite well known, and it's where a lot of the old Coronation Street cast, when they first started, like Violet Carson and people used to stay there, Pat Phoenix and others, and so it's got a bit of a history to it as well, you know. So it's quite nice to be in there and see different people and the staff always look after you. So if you can get that, it can be a bit of a holiday, can't it? But if it's just going and staying in some grotty B&B, it's not nice.
Especially over Christmas, that is the pits, because if you're on your own. In a room or even in a nice hotel, but you'd see all these people having lovely Christmas parties when you came back from work, and it's like, oh, I'm absolutely shattered. And even if I weren't, I don't know anybody anyway.
Let's look at Man About the House, because I think most people remember you from Man About the House.
Yeah,
can you remember how you originally got the part? How were you cast in it? Was it Brian Cook and Johnny Mortimer that spotted you?
I'm not certain on this, but I think that they saw me in an advert, like the Bovril advert or the Crunchy advert. I made a few adverts, and I think they saw me in one of those. I've never thought of that before, but I can't I can't really recall sort of having an audition for it.
The whole idea, wasn't it, was a man about the house, and that was quite controversial at the time, because the idea of having guy with two girls, and I suppose they wanted a contrasting female to Paula, I suppose. That's what they wanted, somebody who's a bit different, I suppose.
I think so. I'd never worked with Paula or Richard before, and I'd never worked with a producer or a director or anything. So I suppose they just looked through Spotlight or something like that. I must have gone for an audition, I think. But I don't recall it, funnily enough. I was so busy at the time. The jobs were overlapping each other. And really, I'd done nothing else. I was only a kid, but it was my way of life. You know, what's the next? And I'd just go on and I'd do it. But I don't. I mean, I know I had a lot of auditions for the Railway Children, because they had to make certain that I looked young enough. I had about 3 auditions, which was really odd, because by that time I wasn't having auditions at all. They just call my agent, she'd tell me, go along to here and you're doing that, and I'd do it. And then it was on to the next thing. I don't actually recall doing it for that.
Can you remember your first day with the other guys, with Paula and Richard? Do you remember meeting them for the first time?
No, not really. I'd never heard of them. And they never heard of me, I'm certain. We were just kids, really, having a good time.
But what do you remember about being on set with them? The camp, because you might have not known each other, but you certainly were very good, all three of you, at creating on-screen chemistry, weren't you?
Yes, the chemistry just clicked in, which was great. Early 70s. People who were in sort of long-running comedies and stuff today would be so jealous, because we had a whole week. So we'd go in on the Monday, and we'd go to rehearsals, and we'd just sort of read through the script. And at lunchtime, that was enough. And so we all went off together to have lunch somewhere, and we carried on. And then we had a whole week of that. And then we actually recorded it in the studio. We had the whole Sunday, which was our busiest day of the week, to sort of concentrate and do everything.
What do you remember about those very early days of doing that? I know you say you were busy, there's lots of things going on, but obviously a sitcom would, I presume, be quite a big thing to be cast in. Did you realise it was going to be, primetime ITV? I presume you did.
No, I didn't. I don't think any of us did. It was just, we were working, we were all busy. We'd all done a lot, because obviously Richard had been in many, many things, and Paula had been in many, many things. And she's in Coronation Street now.
She is indeed, yeah. New part in Coronation Street, doing very well.
Absolutely fantastic. I think it's wonderful. I think that's absolutely wonderful. I hope she comes back.
Yeah, no, it is. Well, she's been part of our TV life for many years, hasn't she, as Paula?
Yes.
So tell us about working on Man About the House. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of episodes. There was 6 series of it, wasn't there, over about 6 years? A long time, really.
3 years.
Was it three years? 6 series over 3 years, was it, I think?
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about it, about working on it, and just the fun memories you've got about working with Richard and Paula in particular.
We did 13 episodes a year in slots of 6 and 7. And we were invited. I didn't realise at the time, but we were invited to some marvellous things, like the changing of the guards, and you know, just to be there, and some fantastic sort of dinner dances, and people used to specifically ask for us to go to their, you know, the summer ball or whatever, and we were having a marvellous time. Absolutely marvellous. It was sort of the thing was we didn't have anything to compare it to, because we'd all more or less done the same thing. We didn't really sort of think it was anything unusual.
Yeah, I mean, the actual show itself, when it first started, as we said before, it was quite controversial, because it was two women and a man living. I gather right at the very beginning, the storyline was that Chrissy and Joe were looking for somebody else to live in the flat, and they actually got, I think it was Gabrielle, who was played by Helen Fraser, first of all.
I love that one. When George comes upstairs to make sure it's a woman or not, or a man or whichever. There are specific ones that I adore. I love the one with the little puppy dogs.
Yeah, I remember that one. Fantastic.
Oh, I'm going to get a little puppy dog now, because having just moved, I can.
You're allowed, are you?
Yeah. It really, there's a lovely square here and everything. I mean, I'm not talking about sort of a greyhound or anything, you know, nothing too dramatic, but you know, a little baby cutie dog who's not hopefully going to chew up much, because there's an awful lot of chew up around here at the moment. It's quite exciting.
What was Joe meant to be like? I mean, did you manage to shape her character yourself, or were you told Joe was going to be the type that's sort of a little bit, because she was a little bit dippy, wasn't she, really?
Yeah.
Was that the plan? Was that the plan?
I think I just did it, because it was so well written, and we used to laugh when we went for the read through in the morning. We used to laugh sitting around the table, and It was just, I don't think she could have, well, she obviously wasn't going to be ultra intelligent, or, you know, she wasn't going to become a pilot or anything like that. But she didn't have a surname. She didn't have a job. She didn't appear to have any parents, because, well, if she did, we never saw them. And it's only been pointed out in the past years, because people have asked me, oh, you know, where did she go to work? And I'm thinking to myself, oh, work? She did go to work. What she did, I haven't got a clue. She could be anything. They didn't give her any specific job, or even, I don't even know where she came from. She could have been from anywhere. Anyway, I did it the way I thought it was written, and I loved the script. I mean, just loved the scripts. Out of all the ones I've done, I think that's got to be they're all my favourite. And for the show to be popular for all these years, it couldn't have been bad, could it?
She was very good at burning toast, if I remember.
Yeah. That's true life. I can't cook to save my life. And I would like to say I've never tried, but I seriously have tried. And it's always been a disaster. When I was married the first time, my husband's business friends, people, whoever they were, they were invited over for dinner. So I said, "Oh yeah, okay." And they were Indian, so I had time off. I had nothing to do for quite a while, and so I thought, "Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll make them. I'll get a recipe and make a traditional Indian dish of some kind," because we didn't have sort of Indian restaurants and stuff then, and we had I was living in Brighton at the time, and there were little shops, which sold herbs and spices and things I'd never heard of. Anyway, I got this recipe, and I wrote it all down, and I went and shopped for the lot, and I took the whole day off. Well, I dedicated the whole day to cooking it, and it was they came over at, I don't know, probably about 7 o'clock or something, and I'd been doing this all day long, and I kept stirring it and putting something else, and I was doing it to the letter, and it tasted disgusting. It wasn't, it wasn't spicy. It was nothing. So I thought, oh God, I don't know. I'll just shove it on the. I didn't like curry anyway, but I thought I'll just shove it in the oven, and just cook it. It must be okay, because I'd tried it with less curry powder, more curry powder, etc., etc. And I think I was having a cheese salad, probably. And anyway, they turned up and sat down, and all the table was laid. And I had quite a nice time, because, make the table pretty and all sorts of things like that. And then I tasted it, and it was absolutely disgusting. So I thought, oh dear. And what I didn't know, and they hadn't put in the recipe, was that the heat of the curry powder, spicy bit of the curry powder, didn't come out until it was cooked. So I was cooking it, I thought, and mixing things, and it was sort of, I don't know, tasted like a really rather horrible stew. Anyway, I thought, well, I can't do any more. I've got everything in it. I've done everything that was in the thing, in the recipe. So here we go. Yeah, I had to leave the room because I couldn't stop laughing. It was totally inedible. I mean, I would like to say, that could have caused the divorce, but it was just awful. So I have tried, but everything I turn to in the kitchen either breaks, falls off the top, or something happens, or catches on fire, and I realised that quite a few years ago, so I gave up.
Joe was art imitating life then.
Exactly, yeah.
And Ashley's conversation with Sally Thompson continues after we found out what else is on offer from Distinct Nostalgia.
Distinct Nostalgia is home to some of the great women of British sitcom. We've got interviews with Felicity Kendall from The Good Life and Wendy Craig from Butterflies. There's Linda Robson and Leslie Joseph from Birds of a Feather. Plus Matilda Thorpe, who starred in The Desmonds, and Sherry Hewson and Amanda Barry recalling their Carry On days. And now three more queens of sitcom are joining us over the summer. Sally Tomsett relives her Man About the House days.
She was very good at burning toast, if I remember.
Yeah, that's true life. I can't cook to save my life.
While Anna Karen tells us how she created Olive in On the Buses.
They said we want her to be very plain. So we went out for a day and sort of looked around all the bus stations and things. And I saw this woman who looked just like Olive, the hair parted and the glasses and terrible. And I went back and said, that's how I'd like her to be. In fact, the very first episode, I had a fringe for half of it, and then no fringe for the second half, because they wouldn't go back and shoot again. So, you know, it just stuck.
So you were part of the creation of Olive?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Plus, Judy Cornwell, who was Hyacinth's sister Daisy in Keeping Up Appearances, also pops in for a chat.
It was very funny. On the very first day in the studio, our first scene, Onslow and Daisy, was in bed. So we climbed into the bed, lay down and pretended we were asleep, and then the whole bed collapsed and our legs went in the air. And the audience were just uncontrollable. They were falling about.
The Women of Great British Sitcom. Available this summer on Distinct Nostalgia.
Distinct Nostalgia. More than a podcast.
Listen out for new episodes and scroll through our archives for past programmes wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, one of the main things, of course, about Man About the House was that you were supposed to all three of you be sharing and it all be very platonic. But, of course, Richard's character, Robin, does have an eye for both of you, doesn't he, in different ways?
Well, really, I think he had an eye for Paula rather than me. I mean, his character, I thought that I was a bit daft, I think, because there were some silly bits in it, which I loved. But it was definitely Paula who he was more drawn to. And of course, and then she married his brother. His brother was in a previous episode, I think, and also then was in the
follow-up.
Mildred. They moved in next door.
Norman Ashley.
Yeah, I saw him the other day.
Yeah, he's still going strong.
If you were sort of following it, it becomes very confused.
No, you're right. Towards the end, it felt as though they were struggling with some of those episodes. It didn't feel quite right. And then, yeah, Norman Ashley turned up as a different character, as next door neighbour to George and Mildred. But tell us a bit about Brian Murphy and Eutha Joyce, because they, of course, were supposed to be originally a sort of a bit part in the whole thing, really, because they were downstairs, they were the landlords, but they weren't meant to be a big part. But they became a big part, didn't they? I mean, their double act together was superb, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And I believe they'd known each other. Well, I know they'd known each other for a long time, but I think they met at Joan Littlewood's theatre workshop. And they just acted so well. They acted so well, full stop. But they played off each other so well.
They were in various films together. I remember they were in a Sparrows Can't Sing. They were in together, weren't they?
Yeah, they did lots and lots together.
Yeah, yeah. No, their chemistry was fantastic. Obviously we lost Eutha in 1980. You know, 41 years ago now. What? Tell us a bit about Eutha Joyce. What was she like as a person to work with?
Oh, Eutha was absolutely fabulous. We lived about, I suppose, 10 minutes walk away from each other. So we both went in the same car to the rehearsals and or wherever we had to go. And When we had our break, it wasn't obviously a normal holiday, like children's holidays or anything like that. It was nobody else really. Everybody else was working. But she had an apartment in a very little-known place in Spain called Neja, which I believe is actually quite fashionable and quite big now. And because we all had the same time off, we either, sort of spent it on our own or went together. Richard used to go to Malta, and as I say, Yutha had this place in Neja, and she said, "Oh, whoa, why don't we go?" And her mum was alive then. And so the three of us went to Neja for probably 2-3 weeks or something. And it was perfect because although we were at the time quite famous, Neja wasn't. It was, firstly full of Spanish people, and Man About the House wasn't on then and in Spain. And so we weren't recognised, so we weren't driven mad by anybody. And we just had it. We had a ball. We had a fabulous time. She was marvellous. And our mum was gorgeous too. So we had a very, very nice time. And I only just recently found out that when they started, or when they were filming the one after, that Norman Eshley also went to the same place. So they went on holiday together too.
Sweet. It is. Was Yutha, I always get the impression that she obviously worked very, very hard. She obviously put a lot into playing Mildred. And as you say, you were all extremely famous at that particular point. I mean, it was massive, it was a massive show, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
Do you think, probably on all of you to an extent, did that fame take its toll on people like Yutha, do you think?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so. After we finished Mad About the House, I'd been working since the age of 11, so I decided that it's about time I went out and had some fun and travelled a bit. I'd just been in the studio. So consequently, I didn't see Yutha after we finished, or not just Yutha. I didn't see anybody because I was going around the world to Singapore and America, etc., and going to visit all the people I hadn't had time to visit before. So I really, I wasn't really in touch with her from, 1976. Oh, I got married once, yeah. Then I got married again. And we were having a pool party at the house, and the radio was on, and it suddenly said that she'd passed away. And that was quite a few years after I'd seen her. And I was just devastated. I mean, it was, apparently she'd just bought a fabulous house in Suffolk or Somerset or somewhere that began with S. It was awful. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and of course it prematurely brought George and Mildred to an end because I know they were planning more episodes and that had gone on and became a huge success, just as successful as Man About the House, hadn't it?
Yes, it had indeed. I mean, loads of people loved it. And then there was the one that Richard was in with...
Robin's Nest.
That's it. Where he was the chef and stuff. But it was just you can't comment because I can't comment because I wasn't there. But it was an awful shock. And even more so, I should think, with Brian.
What about Richard? Now, Richard, of course, has been around for a long, long time. You mentioned he goes back a long way, and he does. I mean, he was in Carry On Teacher. He was in those Cliff Richard films in the early 1960s. So by the time he was in Man About the House, he was a massive, massive name and a real sort of heartthrob, wasn't he, at that time?
Oh, gosh, yeah. He was. Because he did Cleopatra with Liz Taylor. He'd done lots and lots of things. But he's very sort of laid back. He wouldn't make a fuss about anything. And, you know, he's very quiet and reserved and everything. But hysterically funny and a very good cook.
In contrast to Joe.
Yeah. He used to cook us all fantastic Sunday lunches. And the whole thing, roast beef, you know, Yorkshire pudding, all the vegetables and everything. And we all used to go around to his house. All you had to do was go downstairs, and the whole of the bottom area, the basement, had been made into this huge, great kitchen. And then there was an enormous table, and we all used to spend the whole day there with the music going, and the food was fantastic. And it was really a very nice time.
Now, you dated Richard at one point, didn't you?
I did what?
Did you date Richard at one point?
Well, I wouldn't say exactly, because nobody we knew was sort of free at the same time as we were. So, we went everywhere together. I was married. Brian was married. Euther had the odd boyfriend here and there, and she had her gorgeous little dogs. And Richard was divorced, I think, then, and so was I. So it left the two of us sort of, either we're going to sort of take strangers along with us, which wouldn't have been good, because it would have been sort of, who's this one? Oh, God, who's this one? So with all the things that we were invited to, it seemed obvious just to go together. And then, you know, there was no hassle. We just sort of, we just went together, which was nice.
Yeah, and I can imagine, you know, you were young people, it was 1970s, you were at the height of your fame. You must have been a magical time in a way. I mean, obviously you've got frustrations of people following you and the press always wanting to talk about you, all that kind of thing. But, you know, when you look back, it must be quite a special period being in Man About the House.
Mm. It was. It was lovely. It was the best fun.
Now, just tell me, you know the opening titles of Man About the House?
Yeah,
There's several of them, isn't there? There's different ones where you're walking around London or you're on the boat and things like that. Do you remember filming those?
Vaguely, yeah, sort of.
There's one with you with an ice cream.
Oh, that was the zoo, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah. They were quite funny. And of course, every TV comedy in those days ended up having a film connected to it, didn't it? What can you remember doing the film?
I can. I don't mean to be rude, but I thought it was awful. We had a different director, we had a different producer. It didn't sort of gel together, especially seeing as we'd just done all of the episodes, and we'd done quite a lot. And then suddenly this script comes along. Initially, I don't know about anybody else, but I thought we'd have the same people, because we used to have the same people every week when we were making the show. No, we didn't. The director was, I mean, I wouldn't like to have been put in his shoes because we were so used to our director. But no, I don't think, oh, I don't think it's dreadful, but I really don't think it's very good.
Well, I think the thing was, wasn't it basically focused on the beginning of the story again, wasn't it? So you'd have this series when you'd had all these episodes, but this was like going back to the beginning when Robin first moved in, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And it was, I don't know, I can't remember how long it took, probably about 6 weeks, I should think, to film it. But it didn't have, you know, the nice, didn't have the same makeup lady or costume person or lighting man or anything. You just didn't know anybody. Not that that should make any difference, but it did to us because we were so used to all the people that we'd worked with.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, it went on for 6 series, you did, and that's quite a lot for a sitcom. And you did, as you say, you did a lot of episodes. And it was great that it carried on in terms of there was the spin-offs of George and Mildred and Robin's Nest. But do you think Man About the House could have continued a bit more? Do you think you could have had more of them? Or even revisited the characters later on?
I think we could possibly have got away with one more series. Because we didn't want to get stale and, oh, it's them again. Oh, got fed up with them. We didn't want any of that. But I think we could have possibly, yeah, we could have got away with one more series, I think.
Obviously, we're 50, nearly 50 years ago, literally. I mean, 48 years since it first came out in 1973. And as you said earlier, it's still popular. People are still watching it when it's played on TV. It still has a resonance. People still identify with it, even though it's the 1970s. It's a long time ago, but there is universal humour in there that seems to have lasted, isn't there?
Yeah, it was all down to the writers. Absolutely brilliant.
As you know, in Man About the House, you know the opening titles come on. There's the odd picture of your bottom wiggling around, as it were. That wouldn't be allowed today, would it?
Well, somebody put on Twitter yesterday, funnily enough. That wouldn't be allowed now. I thought, well, why not? You know, it was my own. I didn't have a stand-in, and it's my name. Why not? It's a bit of a laugh. And now, look where we are now. Everybody's miserable. You can't do this, you can't do that. You can't even be funny anymore. Because you can't say that, you can't say this, you can't do the other. I think it's sort of ruined comedy a little bit.
Isn't part of British humour the old thing, like the carry-ons and whatever, it's the double entendre, isn't it? We're all into the double entendre.
Yeah.
That's part of being British, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's like Mrs. Slocum.
Yeah.
And it's that sort of thing. I mean, that's still funny.
Yeah, Are You Being Served is very funny. You watch that now and it's brilliant, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. People like it because there's so much you can't do, but at least you can sort of settle down on the sofa and just sort of have a good laugh, really.
A lot of comedy is either too surreal for me or it's too tame. There's just sort of, there's nothing to it, really. In fact, a lot of it is just not funny at all.
No, it's not. And you keep thinking, oh, in a minute, This is going to make me laugh, and especially now because we've only really got the television to watch. It's like, you know, who thought that was amusing? It's not. It's just awful. So I've taken to watching, Tales of the Unexpected.
Were you ever in that?
I wish. No, I won't now, but I'd love to have been in one of them.
What was your fan mail like, Sally, back in the day? What kind of things did you, you must have got a lot of fan mail back then.
Oh, yeah, I did. My mum used to do it for me. And now it's funny, my fan mail now comes from mostly men of around about 50, 55. Now it goes to my agent, who's at Elstree Studios, and then when she gets an amount, I don't know how much, but she then puts it in a big envelope and sends it to me.
So your fans now are guys who were probably in their teens and 20s, or maybe even younger, actually, in the 1970s, weren't they?
Yeah, around about that.
Yeah, they grew up watching you. That's basically the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sweet.
How does that make you feel?
Oh, fine. They're terribly funny. I shouldn't really say this, but I don't have horrible people saying nasty things. They all think I'm wonderful, and I'm funny, which is I think that's the way it should be.
Indeed, it is. Indeed, it is. Now, just finally, talking about Man About the House, nearly 50 years, as you say, and all of those people, several went on to do other things. Richard, of course, with Robin's Nest, and then Me and My Girl, and Dick Turpin. I remember as a kid, I remember being in the series Dick Turpin.
I read it, and I thought, I don't know anything much about Dick Turpin at all, but I wouldn't have cast Robin Richard as Dick Turpin. I've always thought that Dick Turpin was sort of a great big tall chap on a horse or something.
It was quite a flamboyant interpretation, and it was a bit comedy, tongue in cheek a bit. And I think Richard came over as quite flamboyant. You know what I mean? It was quite a That was the kind of part it was. Brian Murphy and Eartha Joyce went on to do George and Mildred, and that was fantastic. And then Paul has done all sorts of things. And you did quite a few other things afterwards as well. But then you decided to give up acting for a while, didn't you?
Well, I figured that, I've been working constantly since I was 11. And I thought it's about time that I went out and had some fun. Because I had a lot of money in the bank, and what was I doing? Just adding to it. It was like, okay. But I wasn't going anywhere. I was sort of partying at night and stuff, but I sort of thought, it's about time I've travelled a bit. So I did. And I actually had a ball.
You know, if you've got it, and you've got the money, and you've got the time to do it, you might as well enjoy yourself for a while.
Well, yeah.
Now, it's great that you all of you are still loved and watched on the TV and all the rest of it. But the one thing I think we all miss is Richard O'Sullivan, in the sense that he was such a big name for many, many years. And I often feel as though he's had health issues and things, but we haven't really. The country doesn't seem to have celebrated him properly, in my view, because I think he did so many things. He was so prolific for so many years. It would be great, wouldn't it, to do something in which we recognise the things that Richard did going way back to the 1950s.
Yeah, he'll never do it. He will never do anything again. I think it was Robin Asquith went to visit, and I keep getting that question online, and it's like, well, I can't speak for him because I don't know what he's doing or what he wants to do, or, well, actually I do. He didn't want to do anything, But I think he's very happy where he is, and he's healthy, which is the most important. And he's having a nice time. I went to visit. I went to visit him a long time ago with Paula and Brian, and he's great. He was in great humour and very happy. We went to the local pub together and had lunch, and he still is happy where he is. I'm absolutely certain that he will never do anything at all again, which is a shame. It's a waste, really.
You've got to respect, I suppose, how he feels, haven't you, at the end of the day? So
Yeah.
But it does feel a shame, just because, I mean, even if he doesn't want to do anything, I think the TV world could honour him in some way at some point. Do you know what I mean? By maybe doing something where they show a load of his material at once and sort of, you know, reflect on his career, because he was so big for so many decades, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. I mean, I don't know whether they'd have to ask him if it's okay to do it or not, because I don't know anything about that. But if they had to ask him his permission to show whatever, I personally think he'd say no.
I was talking to Melvin Hayes about him the other day. Melvin, of course, worked with him in the Cliff Richard films, and when he was very, very young. And it sounds as though they had a ball doing those, an absolute ball.
Oh, I bet they did.
All those great song and dance routines and everything, you know, fantastic.
Yeah, marvelous.
Well, fingers crossed. At some point, maybe somebody will recognise him in some way, shape, or form.
I hope so.
Just finally looking back, then, Sally. I mean, you mentioned earlier on that it was a magical period and an important period in your life. I mean, we can safely say, I suppose, being in Man About the House, although you were a working actress and did lots of things in lots of places, it certainly changed your life, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it did.
In a good way?
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. There's nothing. I've got nothing negative about it at all.
And it must have been rather special as well, when you think back, working at Thames Television, because that was, you know, you think about TV now and that, you know, things are done in a particular way and things have moved on and whatever. But at that time, this was when telly was at its, you know, at its height, wasn't it, really? And Thames TV was a special place, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fabulous. It was such a shame when it closed down.
Would you find yourself bumping into all sorts of people, you know, like Tommy Cooper and all sorts of people like that?
Oh, yeah, but I bumped into Cary Grant. Actually, that was at Elstree Studios, but that's the main thing that stays in my mind, because he was my heart.
And did you speak to him?
Well, we were filming The Railway Children, so I was on my own walking down a corridor, and he was on his own walking the opposite way, and I thought, oh my God. I mean, it's pathetic, really, but it's, I thought, oh my God. And of course, I looked about 10, and he was probably about 65 or something then, but I just sort of looked at him as we passed each other and thought, oh no, why wasn't I in some glamorous film or something like that? And and we could have spoken to each other. But anyway, I did meet him.
Sally, it's been absolutely lovely to talk to you.
It's been lovely to talk to you too, Ashley.
And it's great that, you know, as I say, Man About the House is still being shown and we can still see you in the 1970s having such fun. And as you say, it's great that they're being repeated in another way as well, because they're bright, they're breezy, they're cheerful, and we all need something to cheer ourselves up at the moment, don't we?
We certainly do. Yeah, and I hope that does it.
Sally Thompson speaking to Ashley. And next time, we carry on our celebration of Great British Sitcom as we meet Anna Caron, who played Olive in On the Buses. Bye for now.
Distinct Nostalgia is produced by MIM. And don't forget, you can find loads of great interviews, reunions, plus new drama and comedy at distinctnostalgia.com or wherever you like to get your podcasts.
Distinct Nostalgia. More than a podcast.